Our first piece of scripture this morning goes to that 23rd Psalm. So let's read this through together again. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name." Now, I chose the NLT, the New Living Translation, instead of King James. We're mostly familiar with the King James Version, right, when it comes to this. I know I am. But I chose the New Living Translation because the slide, Strohs, if you could go back one slide. Yeah. It says in that third line there, he lets me rest. I know the last question that Nathan asked the college students had to do with stress. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And I want to focus on this word rest for just a minute. On the count of three, everybody say rest with me. One, two, three, rest. Okay, that's where we're going to spend most of our time. But before we do, let me read you another piece of scripture. It comes from Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that peace that the good shepherd brings will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Okay, the reason I chose this verse, the reason this verse speaks to me is because, again, Strohs, go back one more, is because of that word anxious. What does it say about anxiety? It says, do not be anxious. Focus on that word for just a minute. Anxiety, worry, stress. One of the things that I think God would want us to learn more is this: less stress, more rest. Okay? Less stress, more rest. Everybody say that with me on count three. One, two, three. Less stress, more rest. This is something God wants for us. But how? How do we find the time? How do we take the time? Why is it important for me to rest? In a stress-filled world, how do we get that rest that we so desperately need? And here's where I want to go today. I want to share a few big ideas that come from Jesus being that good shepherd and that imagery. And through that imagery, how we find the rest that we need and why the good shepherd is so concerned with our rest. And this topic is so important for us because honestly, truthfully, y'all, I just don't think we understand. I don't think we get how to rest today. We don't know how to slow down, and this is true of everybody in here. In fact, let's take a little quiz, all right? Let's do a little survey here. Everybody's playing along, okay? I'm going to play along. Let me ask you these questions and see if this describes you. How many of you would say that you feel like you're always in a hurry? Let me see, raise your hand. Okay, good. Yeah, a lot of us. How many of you feel like your to-do list did not get done? Let me see. Yep, pretty much everybody in the room. All right, how about this? How many of you have used your off days to catch up for a work day? Oh, yeah, a lot of you. Some of y'all are like, my boss is over there. Yes. How many of y'all are constantly being told to, how many of y'all have been told within the past week or maybe within the past month, just slow down. Just slow down a little bit. Okay, all right, there we go. How many of y'all, and be honest, how many of y'all have been so overwhelmed that you forgot to pick up your kids? Look at all them bad parents. I'm right there with you. I've done it so many times. I forgot mine at the church, and I'm the preacher. So how many of y'all are so busy that you've had something on your calendar, you may have even circled on your calendar, but you just completely forgot it? You just completely forgot something on your calendar. Okay. I told this story a while back, but it illustrates this so well. I want to tell it again. It's one of my favorite stories. But this happened about seven or eight years ago. It's Tuesday afternoon. It's 5:15. I'm heading home from the church, and it's just been one of those weeks. It's been one of those days. I'm stressed out. I've got so much, and I'm like just ready to get home. And I'm getting off on the exit, getting on Highway 80 on J.R. Allen when I get a phone call. Now, normally I don't pick up my phone for numbers that I don't recognize, but this time, for some reason, I did, and I'm glad I did. This was God intervening here because it was Rose Hill asking me a question. Now, y'all know Rose Hill. Rose Hill is the ministry that we participate in where we feed the homeless. And so they were calling. They said, and I picked up and I said, yes, hey. And they said, are you on the way with the food? The answer to that is no, I am not on the way. I am on the way home. I have no food. And y'all, have you ever had one of those moments where that you just feel like you get somebody dumped cold water all over you? I just got this chill because it was my Tuesday. I'm supposed to pick up food. I'm supposed to pick up pizzas for all those people. We got all those volunteers down at Rose Hill. They're all waiting on me. It's 5:15. At 5:30, I'm supposed to be there with pizzas for the volunteers to serve 60 to 80 homeless people. Again, I feel like the worst preacher in the history of preachers. So I got about 15 minutes to figure out what I'm going to do. So I hung up. I said, I figured it out. And I U-turned in the middle of Highway 80, right across. And don't do that. That's totally illegal. Well, you can't do that anymore. They got the barriers. I'm probably the reason they put the barriers up. But anyway, they saw that. So anyway, I U-turned and I called Little Caesars and I said, hey, I need 20 pizzas as soon as possible. Please, I know this is a lot to ask, but, you know, there's homeless. They're waiting on it, blah, blah, blah. I'll be there as soon as I can. Just try to rush it. And they said, okay, we'll do the best we can. There's only two of us here, one in the back, one up front. So we'll try, you know, it'll be a little while. But I was like, okay, I'll call and let them know that, you know, it is what it is. So I hung up. I got to Little Caesars on Manchester within like 5 minutes. I am flying down the road. And I park the truck and I go inside Little Caesars just to let them know, hey, I'm going to be in my truck. So as soon as those pizzas are ready, you let me know because I'm in a hurry. And y'all, when I walked in those doors, there were two stacks of pizzas as high as you could see. And I looked and I stopped in the doorway and I was like, it's a miracle. And I looked at those pizzas and y'all, they were glowing. There were angels singing. And I looked at them and I was like, I cannot believe this. How did y'all do it? And they looked at me and they said, are you the church that needs the 18 pizzas? And I was thinking, well, yeah, I need a 20, but 18, yeah, it's yes, absolutely, yeah. So I paid for them. We loaded them up in my truck and I am on my way with this miracle in my truck and I am praising God the whole way and I am just singing out to him. I'm like, God is great, God is good. Thank him for this food, you know. And I'm just so, and that's when I got another phone call from the same number. So I picked it up, and the guy on the end was a little frantic, and he said, hey, this is Little Caesars. Are you that preacher that just came and picked up that large order of pizzas? And I said, yes. Thank you so much. And he said, that was for First Baptist. And I was like, I paused. Y'all, I'm halfway. At this point, I'm halfway. And I'll just be honest with y'all. I don't care about them Baptists. Right? You know they want fried chicken anyway. So I thought to myself, what would Jesus do? There's homeless. They're waiting on this. You know, I can't be the one that doesn't feed the homeless. Jesus wants to feed. So I was like, what would Jesus do? So my best preacher voice, I told that guy from Little Caesars, I said, you please tell them Baptists that Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. And I hung up. And y'all, Jesus has forgiven me for that. And we have moved on. But it gets that hectic sometimes, doesn't it? Doesn't life feel crazy like that? And that's just work. I mean, you throw in kids and marriage and school and college and extended family and expectations at church, and it gets complicated and nothing ever seems to slow down. Let me share a little truth with you this morning. I think God cares just as much about your rest as he does your work. And some people, that's confusing because they feel like God only approves of them or God is only happy when they're doing things. It's kind of like our boss here. Like our boss, our work boss is only happy when we're doing things for them, right? No, no, no. God actually wants us to take the time that we need to rest and recharge in his presence. And I'll remind you that this is actually the fourth commandment, to take a Sabbath day and do what? Rest. It's so important to God that he put it in the top 10. Not only that, it's so important to God that he put it into creation. In the creation narrative, on the seventh day, he rested. Why? Have you ever thought, why would God rest? Does God need to rest? No, he's infinite in power and might. Why would God rest? Because he knew that we would need an example to follow. If God rests, then maybe I should consider that as well. So what I want to do is I want to take a minute to look at the Good Shepherd this morning. This is such a peaceful image that's given to us in the 23rd Psalm. Again, I think this psalm paints a great picture of who God is and what he expects. Let's go back to that verse. Verses 1 and 2, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. This sounds nice, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound great? These images that we have here, this symbolically represents rest and refreshment. when he lets me lie down in the green pasture, when he leads me, the good shepherd leading the sheep to the green pastures, that is rest. When he leads me beside those still, calm waters, that's refreshment. This is a great reminder that he is the good shepherd that wants this for us. So why do I need rest? Let me give you a good reason. I believe that to give God my best, it requires rest. To give God my best, it requires rest. Let me clarify. Resting in his presence with the good shepherd. Why is that? If you don't rest, you'll be stressed. You'll be anxious. You'll get worn out. In fact, the difference between being blessed and stressed is rest, resting in him. And you know that because of how much better things look after you've rested. How many of y'all enjoy nap time as much as I do? Oh, isn't the afternoon nap just the best thing ever? How many of y'all, I got it. That's probably going to be the only amen I get all. Amen. I wish it was still like when we were kids, they made us take nap time. I wish at work they would make everybody take a nap time. You know, we'd all do it. And I'm reminded as I'm holding my little grandbaby Ollie in my arms. And, you know, have you ever watched an infant try to fight that rest? You know, they do that head nod thing. They're just trying to stay awake. Ollie will rub his eyes. Like, he's like, I don't want them to close because y'all going to do something and I'm going to miss out on it. And we're just looking at them the whole time going, why don't you just rest? Just rest. You see, when we refuse to rest, I think we're like that immature child. Because what that child doesn't realize and what we don't realize sometimes is how much we need it. And our good shepherd, he knows what's best for the sheep. So where does he lead us? He leads us to green pastures, to quiet waters. That's where he's taking us. That's where he wants us to go. Will you go with him? Well, in order for that to happen, you got to do a few things. So I want to give you a few ideas here when it comes to having a balanced life, less stress and more rest. A few relaxation techniques. Number one is this. Here's what we got to do. Let's just start here because it's obvious. You got to follow. You got to follow the shepherd. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. In him, I have everything that I need. Okay, we got to remember that Jesus is that good shepherd because when we remember this, we'll know that he is good enough to lead, feed, and meet my needs. How's that? I'm a poet. He will lead, feed, and meet your needs. He'll also forgive your misdeeds. He'll help you succeed. All right, I'll stop. All right. Anyway, seriously, in the morning, what would it be like before you started the day, that stressful week? What if on Monday, what if tomorrow morning you wake up and you sit on the side of your bed and before you do anything, you say, Lord, lead me. Good shepherd, would you lead me? I'm willing to follow. You see, I think if we do that, I think we might learn to relax a little more. I do this throughout the day, not just in the morning, but throughout the day I'll say, Lord, be with me. Lord, be with me. And I know theologically that's wrong because God is always with me. His Holy Spirit is inside of me. I know that God is with me. But when I say that phrase, what it's doing is that I'm reminding myself when I say that God is here. I'm the one that needs to make the decision to follow him. So Lord, let me know that you're here and I'll follow you. You know, maybe you're a graduate and you're getting ready for those next steps and you're stressed for that first day of class or what's ahead next semester. What would it be like to just say, good shepherd, lead me and I'll follow you? What would that do for the stress that you carry? What about that next meeting that you have when you're going into that board meeting? Shepherd, lead me and I'll follow you. Or when you're going into the house after a long day of work and you've got 15 minutes to figure out supper and you've got homework and kids to get to bed and all this kind of stuff. Lord, be my good shepherd. My point is this, if you let Jesus be that good shepherd, follow him, your stress level will decrease. And we know this because when people came up to Jesus and asked to be his disciples, what did he say? What did he say? Hey, did he give them like 20 things? Here's 20 things you got to do first. No, before you do any of that, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. There were a few times that he told people specific things they need to do, but by and large, there were two words that Jesus said when people came up to him and wanted to be his disciples. What were those two words? You know it. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Maybe ask yourself that. Whatever's stressing you out, whatever you're doing next, whatever this week holds, am I really following after the Good Shepherd? Am I resting by letting him lead me? The second thing we got to do is we got to allow the shepherd inside. We got to allow the shepherd. We got to allow him access inside the pen with us, inside our homes. We got to allow him inside of every part of who we are. And the reason to bring that up is because there's certain parts of our lives that tend to be off limits, right? There's certain parts of our lives where we stress about because we're holding on to it and we're hiding it away. It's kind of like that home in your, that place within your home that's off limits. There's always that room that's not clean, so you shut the door, right? And you might have that conversation before people come over to the house with your spouse or with your kids, and you're like, nobody goes in that room. I haven't had time to clean it. It's not prepared, right? Sometimes we're like that with our lives. We got to be willing to let Jesus inside every part. Nothing off limits. Because if we don't, you know what we do? We stress about the mess. We'll stress about the mess that's locked up. In fact, that's a good way to determine whether or not you've given God access to every part of your life. Because if you're stressed about something in your life, that's a warning light that he's probably not had access to it. You're not letting it go. He's not really number one in that area. I'll share this verse from Matthew 6. I like the way the Message paraphrases it. It says, what I'm trying to do here, Jesus says, is to get you to relax. To steep your life in the God reality, God initiative, and God's provision. And you'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Steep yourself. Deepen your commitment to God. Allow him inside. Allow him control. He'll provide what you need, but you got to give him access to it. The third thing we got to do is we got to talk to the Good Shepherd. We got to ask the Good Shepherd. We got to have conversations with the Good Shepherd. Every day I got to allow him inside. I got to allow him in that area of my life that I'm stressed with, that I'm holding on to, right? But then I got to tell him why it's important. And the reason that this is so good for the Good Shepherd is because it always feels better to talk things out. You need someone to talk about whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're stressing about, because when you air it out, when you let it all out, you can take a deep breath. It's like anytime you sit down with a good friend and you're telling them that long story that's stressing you out, you're telling them about what happened and what's happening next, and then they said this, and then I said this, and then I got in trouble for this, and then when you get to the end of it, you're like, when you let it out, when you talk it out, it allows you to inhale. It allows you to take a deep breath. Sometimes we need to remember that when it comes to our relationship with the Good Shepherd. We need to talk to him. If we don't, what happens is that we push those things down inside of us. And if we keep pushing it down and never release it, it's just like shaking up a can of Coke and then handing it to somebody else. Sooner or later, somebody's going to open it. It's just going to explode. Peter says it this way. He says, cast all your anxiety on him, on Jesus. Why? Why should we talk and cast our things on him? Because he cares for you. He cares about it. He wants to hear about it. The Good Shepherd is for you. I heard Joby Martin one time talk about this verse, and he said, you know, there's a difference in casting between a rod and reel and a fisherman's net, like in Jesus' time. With a rod and reel, I saw this last week. A guy was sitting by the lake, and he was fishing. He'd, you know, he'd throw it out there, and then what he'd do is he'd reel it back in. Slowly pull it back in. And then you didn't have fish. So you throw it back out and reel it back in. Sometimes we do that with our prayers. Casting our cares and concerns. It's like we throw it out, but what do? We let it sit for maybe 2 seconds, see if God can do it, and then we reel it back in. We want to hold on to it. And we'll cast it back out another time. We'll reel it back in. But see, back in Jesus' time, what they used to do is they used to take those nets and they used to throw them out into the deep part of the ocean or the lake, and then what happened is that they would just let it sink. Just let it sink deep into the water and just let it sit for a while. And if you want to relax a little more in your prayers, what you got to do is you got to cast those cares on him and let them sink deep into the overwhelming greatness of the Heavenly Father. Don't suppress it. We got to express it. Don't repress it, but confess it. Man, we just got to come to Jesus and say, listen, Jesus, this is why I'm coming to you today in prayer and rest in the presence of knowing that he is for you when you cast those things on him. If you do that, you'll find more rest that you need. And then the last thing we got to do is we got to trust. We got to trust that shepherd. Think about the sheep. They're trusting that shepherd, right? To know what's best for them. We need to trust the shepherd right here, right now. Not about everything in the future because it's too overwhelming. But if you want to relax a little bit, trust God for the minute, just like that sheep. He is trusting the shepherd for right then. He doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He doesn't care about what happened yesterday. He is trusting that the good shepherd knows what's going to be best for him right now. Jesus gives this advice in Matthew 6. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Let me say that again. Some of y'all need to hear this. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Don't borrow from tomorrow. God's with you. There are 2 days of the week that we shouldn't worry about. That's yesterday and tomorrow. I can't change what's in the future. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't do anything about that. And I can't do anything about the past. And I'm the worst at worrying and stressing about the past. I will hold on to that, but I can't do anything about it. What I can do and what I'm learning to do, I'm still learning to do this. Shannon says this to me all the time, y'all, is one day at a time. One moment at a time. When we were taking this church through that vote a while back, the amount of stress about what was ahead and what had been done, and not one day at a time. One day at a time. Let me give you a few reasons to trust Jesus one day at a time. Number one is because if you worry about tomorrow's problems, what's going to happen is that you're going to miss the blessings of today. So many of us, we are so stressed out and we are so wound up tight about something that hasn't even happened yet. 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years. And what's happening, though, is that we're ruining every day of our life until that happens, right? Because we're worried about it. And we're missing out on all the opportunities that God wants. God wants to, he wants to bless you today. And sometimes we don't see it because we're too focused on tomorrow. Another thing is that you can't solve tomorrow's problems with today's power. Okay, when you get to that point, God will give you the grace and the wisdom and the perspective that you need in that moment. Trust him. Trust the good shepherd for that moment, that he won't leave you. He's going to be with you. We need to remember that. I do this so often. I'm so worried about what's coming up, but I can't do anything about it. What I got to do is I got to trust God for this moment and trust God is going to give me the power I need in that moment. And I'll stay up 2 hours, 3 hours at night just stressing about what's tomorrow. And then I find that tomorrow God gives me exactly what I need to get through it. And God's been good and I can get through it and praise God for it. And then I wonder, why was I up so late last night worried about that? Why didn't I trust him more? Now, it's good to plan for tomorrow. Please don't hear me saying otherwise. Planning for the future is good. You just can't be anxious about it. You just can't live in tomorrow. You live today. We got to trust them each and every day. So let me recap. If you want less stress, more rest, try these things this week and see if it doesn't help. Remember that he is the good shepherd. Every day, commit your day to him. One day at a time, God, I'm going to follow you. Jesus, I will follow you. I'm going to talk to you throughout the day. I'm going to take time to just sit in your presence. Today, I'm going to give you access to that area of my life that I'm so worried about. And then I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you've got it all figured out and that you're going to be with me. Do you know, I remember when the girls were little, real little, we used to love taking them to the playground or wherever that would just wear them out, get all their energy out, because I knew that if they took a good nap, it meant I could take a good nap. So we'd wear them out, and I knew it was a good afternoon playing when they would want me to carry them back to the car. They'd reach up, and I'd pick them up, and they'd snuggle their head in my side. I'm going to start crying just thinking about it. But Shannon take one, I would take the other, we'd take them back to the car. And what's so great about that is that this is one of the more common images I see of that good shepherd. Maybe not this one in particular, but of Jesus holding that sheep, that one that he's been looking after, right? The one that he has around his shoulders like they used to carry him back in the day. And I think to myself, how often do we feel like that worn out child because we're so exhausted? How often do I feel like that sheep that just wants to be held by the Father, by the Good Shepherd? Thing is, he wants that for us. He is reaching out to us saying, I'll care for you. I will guide you. What you have to do is you've got to follow me. So as you leave this morning, maybe take that picture with you of that sheep in the arms of the good shepherd, because that sheep is experiencing what we all need, and that's to rest. Rest in his arms. Let's pray together. God, I just thank you so much. I thank you that you love us like you do, that you are the good father, that you care for your children, that you provide for your children, that you love your children. God, we thank you for that. But God, we thank you for all these images that describe who you are and the nature of your relationship with us. We thank you for the good shepherd. God, we thank you that we have somebody that we can follow through this life, that we have somebody that we can talk to about everything and know that you are for us, that you care for each one of us. God, that you want access to those areas that we tend to hold off, that you actually want to go in so that you can help clean up that mess, that you want us to trust you more. So God, maybe we need some help with these things. God, would you help us learn what it means to lean into this good shepherd, what it means to follow you each and every day, what it means to spend time and talk with you. God, and just to be with you. God, what we want is we want to rest in your presence. We know you want that for us, and we know we're better when we rest in you. So God, help us to make that opportunity each and every day. And God, I just pray for this church. I pray that you continue to be with the Ridge. I pray for the people here. Pray for Andy and the leadership. God, that you would continue to guide them as they guide the people here. And God, I pray that this church would continue to be a light in a dark world, that this church would grow your kingdom here in this place, that more people might come to know the saving grace of your son, Jesus Christ, and the love of a wonderful church family. God, we love you. We thank you. We give you everything. And God, good shepherd, we follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.